I found a pile of Polaroids in the crates of a record shop. They were sexy, sexy looking back from a night that time forgot. Boy, he was something debonair in 1979. And she had Farrah Fawcett hair, carafes of blood red wine.
This is Exercise Me, a Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Fast and the Furious crossover fic, written by Paper Faith and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Brian O'Connor, Buffy Summers, Carter Verone, with additional tags for alternate universe, sequel, prompt fic, wishlist fic, moving on, letting go, Dom being an asshole, frankly, demons, violence, blood, gore, unhealthy relationships, and getting over them. And look, I like Dom generally, but he doesn't get off very well here. Polyamory, threesome, graphic depictions of violence. This is the fifth story in the series, Grow Up Mean. Author's notes. For Ginger Menace, who asked for more Grow Up Mean verse, with Dom and or the gang seeing Buffy in action. It went a little sideways because this series has somehow turned into character therapy while I wasn't looking. Which is weird, because come on, it started out as crack. I hope you enjoyed it anyway.
Just makes the colors turn to gray. Forever younger, growing older, just the same. All the memories that we make will never change.
With Vince and his family living here, with Han and Giselle putting down roots here, it was really inevitable that Dom would return to Rio too, promise or not. And Brian doesn't really mind. Whatever was between them, real or imagined, potential or fact, is almost 10 years over now. He would have turned for Dom, but in the end, he did it for Carter and Anna, and that... it fits him better than Dom ever would have, probably. One-sided loyalty is really just obedience, and Brian's never been big on that. Those two, though, they're as loyal to him as he is to them. They love him. So he's content where he is, where he ended up. He's not grateful to Dom for the road he put him on, but he doesn't mind it anymore. Dom and Rio, seeing him around, he doesn't mind it all that much. Either he healed or Dom did. Or maybe both of them just finally grew up a little. Enough to let shit stay buried. The man came alone, one of his endless grambles where he can't stand still anymore. And he spends most of his time with Vince, sleeps on his couch. Han and Giselle hang out with him some evenings. Brian intersects with them every now and then on his circuit of Carter's clubs and the races. It's whatever. Most of the time. Han comes ambling across the yard from the pool house he and Giselle have made theirs, with his phone in hand. Brian pauses in his tinkering under the hood of his newest acquisition, wrench in hand, sits back on his heels, and takes in his friend's worried expression.
What's up, ma'am?
Dom's heading out day after tomorrow. Once one last night of partying. They're headed for Vermeu. Brian hisses through his teeth.
That's a shit idea.
You try telling him he can't go someplace.
They share a look of commiseration. Handling Dom is a shit show at times. The man too alpha of alphas to back off for anything less than the end of the world or his little sister. If they tell him not to go to the club, he'll go and cause a mess just to be contrary.
And look, Brian knows from Band Contrary, okay? It's pretty much his middle name. But even he knows when to fucking fold. Besides, his lovers rule the entirety of Rio between the two of them. He can afford a lot more bullheadedness than Dom, a stranger, can. He sighs, dropping the wrench back in the toolbox. He needs to get this baby into a proper garage anyway. Whatever her previous owner did to her exhaust system is fucked up. Alright, guess we're going out tonight. What? Dom asks, low, when they bypass the line out front. Your sugar daddy owned this one, too. Giselle snorts derisively as she slips away to get them drinks. She's sort of apprehensively gleeful about the evening. It's helping Brian's nerves. Nah, is all he tells Dom, leading the man toward the seating at the back of the club, exchanging pleasantries with a guy on duty by the VIP section, then leading them in. Han and Vince file in after them, all of them sitting down. You sure? Dom asks again. And Brian isn't sure if he thinks he's teasing, but it's not all that funny. Luckily, Giselle arrives then. She has drinks. It makes things better. And, Brian tells himself, even if this ends up a shit show of a night, it's also Dom's last hurrah. He'll be gone in a few days, and then Brian can finally breathe again. Giselle rubs a hand through his shorn hair as she passes him his beer, friendly and softer than she usually is, and he catches her hand, squeezes it briefly. She's a good friend, she is. Dom watches, but keeps his mouth shut. And for a while, that's it. It's still early, so they mostly sit and drink, shooting the shit. Cars are safe subjects, so they stick to those. Dom and Vince regale everyone with stories of the good old days, and Brian finds they don't hurt anymore. The bitter longing that used to well up whenever they did that in L.A. is long gone. Once or twice, they head out to dance for a few songs. Then Anna arrives. She enters like a queen, dressed in a scarlet dress and matching heels, her hair twisted up with what looks, at first glance, like chopsticks. There's a knife strapped to her thigh under the high slit of her skirt, and her lips are painted like blood. Fuck, but Brian is lucky! Han tells him so, laughingly punching him on the arm. Anna passes the bar, where she's handed a drink without delay, and then slinks through the parting crowd toward them. The VIP bouncer sketches a bow as he moves the cordon to let her through. She stops briefly to shout instructions into his ear over the din, and then promptly breezes past, pressing a kiss to Brian's temple and tugging on one of Han's ears affectionately, before moving on to the area Brian has long since dubbed the throne room. There are men in suits waiting. All of them stand as she approaches. Dom watches her with narrowed eyes. You're still telling me Varone doesn't own this place? He doesn't, Brian repeats. So why is his piece getting the royalty treatment then? Why is it any of Dom's business? Brian wants to ask. Instead, he slouches back in his seat, insolent, lazy, and unbothered. Because she does. He smirks to go with it, watching Dom's eyes widen in surprise. Gets a kick out of it. What, did you think she was only arm candy? Does he think Brian is? The answer to that is probably yes. Dom never did think highly of Brian, did he? Even when they ran together, he was just the buster. It's Vince, actually, who shoots Brian an apologetic grimace. Dom glares. Brian decides he's done playing nice, stands abruptly.
the fuck is he even doing? Tom's done shit all for him, and he's tolerated the man in his city for a month. Told himself it was all fine, all good, all dandy. Has gone out of his way to avoid him most nights. And come here tonight only because the man is a stubborn fucking idiot and determined to party in a demon club. Because for some fucking reason, he felt like it was his duty to keep the other man safe. For what? He drops his empty bottle on the low table between couches and makes his way over to Anna, perching on the arm of her chair for a few minutes, listening. She's trying to mediate a territory dispute between two demon clans, and it's getting a little heated, judging by the occasional flare of eyes and fangs. Fins, too. This is probably the thing that's been going down on the bay. He listens a little, figures she's got it well in hand, and wanders off for more beer and some dancing. He doesn't check on the others. Han and Giselle can take care of themselves. Vince, too. Dom is the only one sitting pretty in a demon club and not knowing it. But Dom isn't Brian's job. He never was. Giselle comes twirling into his arms half an hour later, pushing in between him and a cute little redhead. Trouble, she tells him, and then she's gone again, back to Han. Whenever there are other demons close, she tends to stick by her man. He is, quote-unquote, squishy. Anna snorts and nods along every time it comes up. Brian clocks Anna, and immediately can tell that territory negotiations are about to blow up. Several of the club's security are already heading towards the VIP area, and Brian joins them, glad for the peace in his back holster and the knife at his ankle. They're all too slow. Before anyone can reach her, one of the suited demons makes an enraged grab for Anna, shouting something in a language that makes Brian's hair stand on end. Instead of evading, his tiny blonde girlfriend pushes up and into the grab, wrapping her own hand around the demon's wrist and slamming the heel of her free hand into the outside of his elbow. It breaks with a sound Brian swears he can hear over the music. The demon roars and tries to claw her face off with his other hand, to which she reacts by leaning back and then bringing up one leg to kick him square in the chest. 4-inch heel and all. He goes flying right over the VIP partition and onto the dance floor. The music comes to a screeching halt, and Anna shouts, "Leave!" into the crowd with enough force to get people moving. The non-security personnel start ushering everyone out. This isn't new territory to them. Then, the demon lying flat on the dance floor sits up and howls with rage. After that, Brian kind of loses sight of the fight as he has to push against the evacuating crowd. He makes to the front part of the VIP section, where Giselle greets him with a knife in each hand and her eyes glowing molten gold. Han is behind her, long-suffering, but willing to play the damsel to her knight. Vince is by his side, gun out, but mostly amused at this point. Dom is tense as a bowstring, obviously worried and pissed off, because of course he is. Brian sees security haul 2 of the 10 members of the negotiating parties toward a side entrance. A third goes flying over the crowd, landing hard against a pillar. And then the throng of people clears enough to see Anna, clutching the sides of one demon's head, hard, to use him as a springboard for kicking 2 others in the face. She lands, twists the head in her grip until the neck snaps and drops the body, before parrying a punch from another one. Brian whistles as loud as he can, and pulls his knife, throwing it at her. The sheath on her thigh is empty, and, yep, there's one dead on the ground, knife buried in his eye socket. She catches it without looking because she's something straight out of an R-rated superhero movie and slams it into another one's skull, breaking off the hilt as she goes. The next one comes flying at her, full fangs and claws, and two of her security intercept long enough for her to grab a serving tray and knock another one unconscious with it. Then security goes flying, and she meets the raging demon head-on, ducking a punch and ramming her shoulder into his gut. He goes flying over her head, and when he lands, her heel is already there to bury itself in his neck. The last guests have barely left the room when the fight is already over. Downed security men are groaning and collecting themselves, their more demonic attributes disappearing rapidly. The downed negotiators are silent. Except for two. One of them is held still by Anna's foot on his neck. The other is groaning close by. She snaps her fingers and points. Brian and Giselle grab the poor fucker and drag him towards Anna, dropping him by the first survivor. She nods, beams briefly at Brian with a split lip, and then steps back carefully. "You two," she asks them in Portuguese. "You know why I left you alive?" They both look pained, but also a little hopeful and too scared to say anything. They think she's going to declare them the new leaders of their clans, now that she's killed the old ones for breaking the club's only rule, neutral ground. It's almost cute. Giselle must agree, because she snorts next to Brian. "So you can go back to your people," Anna hisses, bending low to look each of them dead in the eye, "and tell them that your leader's fucked up. The bay is mine. If you can't play nice, you're not playing at all. I expect my cut in a week. Now get the hell out of my club." Neither of the demons moves. She bends a little lower and snaps her teeth at them. They run. As soon as the door hits them on the ass, Anna straightens. "Everyone okay?" Security is mostly fine, broken bones already healing. Giselle and Brian nod. "What the fuck?" And that's Dom, confused and angry about it, because anger is his default emotion. Brian fights down the urge to sigh. "What the fuck are you?" comes the next demand, addressed to Anna. Anna turns to Carlos, her head of security. "Get rid of the bodies, please. Bonus for anyone on shift tonight, and make sure the guys aren't hiding injuries." He nods, already pulling out his phone to get to work. Then he pauses. "Sorry we weren't more help, Rainya." It's an odd apology. Anna's never let herself be protected. At this point, they've stopped trying. She waves him off. "You're not here for me. You're here for the club. And you did your job." He nods and then disappears, phone pressed to his ear.
"Hey, I'm talking to you,"
Dom roars. Anna turns to him, 5'2" of disdain. "And I'm ignoring you." Brian decides to take pity.
"Demons exist. Big news. Relax. Fight's over."
Dom takes a moment to assimilate this. Since he's been hanging out in the dirtier parts of L.A. most of his life, it shouldn't be too much of a surprise.
"So you're not just fucking a kingpin, but also some kind of monster?"
"Dom, man, you need to calm down," Han interjects, ever the peacemaker. "Unless he's the shit stirrer. He's flexible." Brian just stands there, to be honest, and waits for the pain to set in, the hurt of Dom's opinion of him, his judgment. He's surprised when all that comes is resignation. He's so over this shit.
Carter runs the human half of Rio, he tells Dom tiredly. Anna runs the non-human half. Do you really want to piss them off even more, Dom? You just watched her kill someone with her fucking heels. Very nice, Giselle agrees, picking up furniture. Thanks, Bay, Anna offers, without taking her eyes off Dom. The teller woman chuckles. Dom seems very unimpressed by all of them. Still angry. Still defensive. God, get some therapy. Before Brian can say anything else, Anna steps forward, looking the bald man dead in the eye. I don't like you. I have never liked you. Nobody fucks with my men. But I tolerated you for the sake of my friends. She indicates Han and Giselle. But I'm done. I don't care that you had a hard life or that you have a chip on your shoulder or what the fuck ever. You're intolerant, stubborn, entitled, and so far up your own ass you can probably see out the other end. So you are going to leave my city and not come back. Am I making myself clear? There is a long, tense moment of silence where no one moves. Don's jaw is clenched so tight, Brian can hear bone grinding. Then Vince steps forward, grabbing him by the elbow, a stark reversal of their usual dynamic. Come on, man, let's go. Dom resists for a moment, then turns towards Han and Giselle. They're squared up, side by side, and Han shakes his head. Nah, man. We'll come visit, but we got a good thing going here, yeah? And now Anna's got the bay, the surfing will be the shit. For a second, Brian thinks this is it. Dom will throw down after all. He's a possessive bastard, after all. But then he looks at Anna, and whatever he sees in her expression makes him finally give in. He lets Vince tow him away. Well, Brian drawls, mostly just to fill the quiet. That went shit. It's almost dawn by the time they make it home. Carter's in his office, talking to someone halfway across the globe. They leave him be, undress each other, and step into the giant-ass shower in the master bathroom. As Brian washes blood from her hair, Anna, Buffy in moments like this, quiet and too late to be awake, leans back into him. I'm sorry it ended that way. He shakes his head, pushes her forward to rinse. Don't be. It was overdue. Even when we did the heist, we never really addressed any of the old shit. I just let it sit for the sake of getting the job done. Didn't really talk about it tonight, either. No, but you drew a line in the sand. He hesitates. I don't think I could have. She snorts as she grabs the shampoo bottle to return the favor. I didn't think he'd listen to me either, to be honest. That man has a head as hard as fucking concrete. Brian ducks his head to give her better access and manages a grin. I think he's scared of you now. You were terrifying. You saying all that rage and bluster was a fear reaction? I'm saying everything Dom feels turns to anger eventually. And yeah, you look all cute and tiny, but you're basically Wonder Woman. He was scared. A bit bloodier than Wonder Woman. She's got her own demons. The figurative kind, not just the literal. He hugs her around the waist, all slippery wet and supple. I love you. I'm glad he's gone. I didn't really want him here. She leans into him. I could tell. And hey, it only took me killing 8 guys in front of him to make him move. I love you, he tells her again. She kisses him.
In the morning, they'll tell Carter all that happened, and he'll sigh and announce,
"Thank God. I was about to pay the man off to leave."
Brian kisses him for that. After that, they'll have breakfast by the pool, and Brian will hug Han and then Giselle a little harder than usual, and they'll hug right back. Then they'll sit down, drink coffee, and discuss techniques for killing people with heels. The end. Notes. So I have been down for 2 days with sore throat slash death cold slash whatever. My voice is not what it should be, but I was struck by this really, really, really solid urge to reread the whole of Grow Up Mean. And then I got to the last part of the series and I was like, wait, crap, I never recorded this. How did I not finish it? So even though my voice is not at its most robust, I needed to just get this out there. Also, that one little bit about how Anna is like a rated R superhero movie. Please take the brief mental image of our current rated R superhero movie, Deadpool, Deadpool and Wolverine, and think about Buffy, or even specifically Grow Up Mean Anna Buffy, crashing that universe. Please think of the chaos, the shenanigans, the snark. Thank you so much to Paper Faith for having blanket permission to Podpick and for, as usual, giving me very, very luxurious sandboxes to play around in. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day. Time can never break.